Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grey City Church.
Good morning. So are we all on and sounds good? We're all doing fine? Well, it's great to see you here this morning. I'm starting to feel very comfortable here. This is starting to feel like home. I've ministered here a few times now and I always love being here. And I just love the atmosphere and the spirit of this church. There's something about this church being an outsider, I maybe notice this maybe more than if you come here every week, but there's just a sense of purity and a sense of doing what God wants us to do, not being sidetracked by the things of the world. There's just a sense of purity in this place that I just really love and really enjoy. So it's just great to be here. So I just want to thank you for having me here again, or having Denise and I here again, and having the opportunity to share the word with you this morning. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. First things first, we're going to pray, amen? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We want to thank you that your presence is in this place. We want to thank you, Lord, that as we've worshipped you, given you glory and love, that your Holy Spirit has even now just started to move across this auditorium and move across every heart and minister life and wholeness and peace and joy and love into every heart in this place. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here now. And we exalt you and we worship you. And we say, have your way. This is your church, your time, your opportunity. Holy Spirit, we just say, do as you would wish in our hearts today. God, we thank you that we have the privilege of being able to gather together as the saints of the living God. We don't take that lightly, Lord. And we thank you and bless you for your presence in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, you ready? Here we go. I believe that the Christian life is an amazing journey. Who would agree that It's like a journey, and from the moment that you set foot into the Christian life, things start to happen. Different things, unusual things. Things that maybe you didn't expect, and it's like there's a sensitivity that opens up to the things of the Spirit, and suddenly things that you weren't able to understand maybe start to become real in your life, and there's revelation starts to flow, and the Christian life is an amazing journey. But it challenges us and it changes the way we think. And if it doesn't change the way you think, something is wrong. If you're thinking this morning the same way you thought 10 years ago, then something is desperately wrong. We need to yield ourselves to a life of change from the moment we say, Jesus, yes, to the day we say, Jesus, take me home. Expect a change. Amen? If you think you've got it all together, sorry, you're sadly mistaken. Because the Christian life is a life of change and a life of going forward. It's a journey of getting to know our amazing Creator and how He wired us and designed us for life. You know, if you're serious about this journey with Him, He spends the rest of our lives revealing Himself and life's truths to us in an atmosphere of His incredible creation. Think about that. The rest of your life, a journey of God showing you who He is and drawing you close and revealing his heart to you in this amazing, constantly changing atmosphere that he created. Sun's going up, sun's going down. Amazing scenery and beautiful things and an incredible intricacy. A journey of amazing discovery. We're a blessed people, right? But his desire is for you to live an amazing life of more abundance. Do you agree with me today? If there's one scripture you need to be aware of, it's this, amongst others. It's John 10:10, and we all should know it off by heart. And it says this: it's the devil who comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. So whatever you were experiencing prior to knowing Jesus, he wants to give you more. Whatever you're experiencing today, he wants to give you more. Whatever you're experiencing tomorrow, he wants to give you even still more. This is a life of more abundance. And Jesus said, I want to deliver this life to you, and it's never going to stop. It's going to go day to day to day to day, month to year, stepping more and more into that abundant life that he has for you. Who can say amen? Do we believe that? Do we believe that life is just this constant journey? Good. Well, you may have heard me say this in this church before, because this is a very, very strong belief that I have. And I believe that God holds all truth. Amen? In fact, Isaiah calls him the God of truth. So truth, I believe, the whole foundation of truth is found in God. And that truth is revealed to us through his word. Amen? So if you need to find truth or know truth or understand truth, truth comes through his word. And you know, it's an amazing thing. And if your journey has been anything like my journey, it's been a little like this, is that initially it appears hard to understand. Did anyone find the word hard to understand before they were a Christian and in their early Christian? It's just hard to, it's hard to read and it's hard to understand. It just, in some ways, it just does not make sense. Seems to be a book full of abstract stories and riddles and unusual people. Amen? But as we continue to look into it, as we persist with reading the word, it reflects our condition and reveals, like a mirror, who we are. We start to see ourselves in here. We start to go, oh, golly, that's me. And if we allow this word to challenge us and to shift us and change us, when we see those things, it adjusts us and it changes us. As we continue to look into it, it reveals like a mirror who we are. Then as we allow it to change and challenge us, we find amazing nuggets of truth revealed. And then life-changing wisdom seems to jump off the pages where there was previously only words. Have you experienced that? Where it just goes bang and all of a sudden there it is and you go, wow, that is the thing that I've been looking for so long. That's called the rhema word. That's the when the word comes to life and you go, wow, that's amazing. I've read that 200 times before and I've never seen that. Then the word becomes alive. Okay? The word says about itself, it's living and it's powerful. And it becomes alive. And we daily interact with it in our spirits. As we do life, the word is adjusting, correcting, giving us a foundation of truth that allows us to be able to adjust every attitude, every thought, every position, every word. Amen? And if it lives within us like it should, if we know it, and we don't have to just go and read it. If it's in our heart, then it can adjust us every moment of our life. And then the word really does live
and is super powerful in everything that we do. It challenges us, it provokes us, it loves us, it comforts us, it directs us, it guides us, it inspires us, and it speaks to us through our day-to-day life. And the Holy Spirit comes and he prompts us and guides us through the life according to these amazing truths. Okay? Now, are we all right with that? I've built you a foundation. Foundation of the Word being truth. Well, this morning I want to speak to you about a truth that God has revealed to me through his Word and his Spirit over many years. I've never preached this message this morning. This is new for me. I've preached the concepts in different messages, but this message completely I've never preached before. And it's been something that God has been working through me in a long time, and I believe this is a vitally important key to a successful Christian life. So are you ready for it? Here we go. Well, the journey started with an encounter with a scripture in the same way that I've just explained to you. I was reading my Bible one morning and a scripture jumped out to me that I'd read probably several times before, and I looked at it and I encountered it. It impacted me. And this is the scripture. This is Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. And I read this one morning and it said this. It said, "Be anxious for nothing." I thought, really? You're kidding me, right? Be anxious for nothing. Think about it. Who lives a life with no anxiety? Come on. Like, I read this, I said, God, you've got to be absolutely kidding. A life with no anxiety? It says, be anxious for nothing. I thought, God, you obviously, look, I've got a business, I've got employees, and I have jobs to get finished, and I have financial deadlines to meet, and I have debts, and I have continuing life dramas to sort out. Okay, how do I do that? How do I live this nirvana-type life of being anxious for nothing? Would we all like to know that this morning? Because I would. I thought to myself, far out, that God, really? So I continued to read. And it said this, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication." Now, that was no surprise to me, because I'd been a Christian for quite a long time. And I know that prayer and supplication, let me clarify this. Supplication means continuing to pray and humbly bringing our requests. So look, I understood that. I understood that we need to pray and we need to ask God. You know why I knew that? Because James 4:2 says this, "You do not have because you do not ask." Let that settle in your spirit. Everybody listening? You do not have because you do not ask. So unless you ask God, it's saying unless you ask God, don't expect unless you ask. So this resonated okay with me. But the problem is that I've spent a lifetime asking. And let me tell you, that doesn't necessarily mean anxiety goes away, does it? Who's asked and still been anxious? This is the life in which we live. And I'm thinking, God, that doesn't solve my problem. I've been asking for years, and God, you've been doing things and it's all been good, but it doesn't stop me being anxious. So I read on. And two words jumped out of this scripture and smacked me right between the eyes and just about knocked me over. And this is what it said: with thanksgiving. I'm not sure whether you noticed this, but to me, it looks like the writer has gone, be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, they've sort of, I've forgotten that bit. We'll just tack that bit on the end. It's like the thanksgiving bit's been added to that scripture. Well, no, it actually was originally there in the original text. With thanksgiving. Now, I sort of thought about that, and those two words started me on a journey that changed my life in the area of dealing with life and anxiety. I realized through practice that when I step into that place of thanksgiving, things shift. There's a shift. Because there's a power that goes with thanksgiving that is far greater than the act itself. Now, if you're thinking to me, okay, well, yeah, fair enough, I'm hearing you. And you're thinking thanksgiving, yes, maybe I need to do a bit more thanksgiving, and yes, I can do that. Okay, I'm not talking about the act of thanksgiving. That's a start. But this is a spiritual dynamic which changes things and sets things in motion that is an incredibly powerful tool which God has designed and orchestrated in His truth to spare you anxiety. This is the key. Pray and be thankful. And thanksgiving is not just an act. It's a supernatural thing that changes the world we live in. It's a fairly big statement, isn't it? But there is a power that goes with thanksgiving that is far greater than the act itself. And look, I believe that thanksgiving is a powerful weapon given by God so that you can overcome in life. Now let's have a look at why. Because, let's start with this, point one, is thanksgiving is the doorway to God's presence. This is the door. Thanksgiving is the door to God's presence. Psalm 95:2 says, "Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving." So the way we come before the presence of God is with thanksgiving. Are you okay with that? Then Psalm 100, which my brother, the worship leader, read out to you this morning at the start of the meeting, says this: "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving." So we enter, we go from the altar to the place of God's presence through the doorway of thanksgiving. This is a spiritual act. This is something that takes place in our hearts, which opens the door to God's own presence. Then it says, "Enter His gates into thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name." Now, are you okay with this so far? You realize that what I'm saying is that being thankful, shifting gear in our heart. No matter where your heart is right now, as you sit here, okay, listen up. If we shift our heart into the gear of thankfulness, something dramatic will happen. Shall we? Let's do this. Let me ask you a question. Like, I love what you guys do here, and I love to worship. I'm actually a worshiper. That's like, if you ask me who I am, yeah, I just love to worship. So, do we need the band to enter into the place of His presence? It's nice to have. Makes life easier. But no, maybe not. So what I want you to do is I want you to get comfortable. Be comfortable. All sitting down. All good. I want you to close your eyes. Okay, just close your eyes with me. And we're just going to do something for a moment. Lord, I want to thank You. I want to thank You for who You are. I want to thank You that You died for me so that I can know You. Thank You, Lord, that You created all that exists. And You are greater than everything upon this earth. And I thank You, Lord, that You love me and You want to be with me. And I just want to thank You this morning, Lord, that You save me. I thank You, Lord, that You have a place in heaven for me.
I want to thank you that you are in control. Thank you, Lord, for your incredible love for me. Just as you sit, just start to thank God for anything you can think of in your life. Thank him for your salvation. Thank him for your family. Thank him for your friends. Thank him for your love, his love for you. Lord, we thank you this morning. We give you glory and thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. I just wonder this morning whether you experience the presence of God in thankfulness. I believe that when we genuinely are thankful of heart, his presence comes because he loves that. He loves that. He responded to that. Now, if I was to ask you this morning, it seems like there's quite a few of you here are sort of like lost now. You're just in that zone, right? That's okay. You can stay there. But I would ask you this morning, what is it that you experience in that place? What's the, I would think, the most overwhelming sense of what's happening in that place of thanksgiving and God's presence? I would say peace. You notice how we settled? We gave thanks. And all of a sudden, there was a peace. So I can still sense that peace that comes with thankfulness. Let's continue to read our scripture. Our scripture says, "Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And listen, "and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." Thankfulness and peace are connected. There's a sense of when we start to get thankful to God and realize the goodness of God in our lives, it's like a peace just starts to come and a sense of well-being starts to come, and that anxiousness sort of drifts away, and in that place of his presence there is peace that you don't even understand. It surpasses all understanding. You getting where I'm at here or what I'm talking about? What we've just experienced, and I hope you've experienced it too, you can live in that place. And you know how we live in that place? By doing this. From the outside to the inside, we step through the door of thanksgiving into that place of rest and peace, leaving anxiousness on the other side of the door. And the doorway is thanksgiving. Peace that surpasses all understanding, a sense of well-being. Well, what happens when we're thankful? We start to see ourselves in a proper perspective. We are recognizing that we're not in charge. When we start to come before God and get thankful, and we start to go, "Thank you, God, that you... Thank you, God, you are great. Thank you, God, you are mighty. Thank you, God, you are in control. Thank you, God, that you have this situation well in hand. Thank you, God, that you love me, that you care for me." Suddenly, God is in the right place. He's not God of weakness or a God of
out of controlness, or he's not a God who can't help you through your situation. Suddenly God, through thankfulness, is in the right place. He's the God that deserves to be exalted and deserves to be praised. He's the God who can change that situation in your life through the door of thankfulness. We are recognizing that we are not in charge. We can't do this without him. Because thankfulness is a place of humility. It puts you in the right perspective. It takes you off the throne and puts God on the throne. Because we're thankful to him that he is in control. That he does have your life in hand. You know, pride will eliminate thanksgiving. But thanksgiving will eliminate pride. Be aware of this. Watch it. Because I've been watching this for a number of years now, and it's quite a thing. The world is training us to be unthankful. Thankfulness isn't an attribute or isn't a characteristic that the world is developing in people. If you watch TV, watch how many times, you know, people will do something, no thanks. You know, the recipient... You know, won't go, oh, thanks for organizing that for me. Thank you. No thanks. Being thankful isn't something that is actually displayed before you every night on TV. No way. Actually, arrogance and pride and entitlement is what is displayed for you every night on TV. Not thank you, which makes me subservient because you have helped me. And I believe that that's the position that we need to live in with God. Not in pride and arrogance, demanding. I know that's popular, but demanding this of that and that of God. And look, there's a place for authority and demand in God, but we're not demanding God, we're demanding situations. But let me tell you, when it comes to God, we need to remember who we are. And we need to be thankful that the only authority we'll ever have is authority that we've received from him. So that makes us subservient to him. So thankfulness always keeps you in the correct position. And pride and arrogance will try and take that from you. But let me tell you, is that thankfulness will keep you out of pride. If you're a person who finds it difficult to thank others for their help, check that. Go, okay. Why is that pride in my life? Psalm 69:30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Magnify. What happens when we magnify something? All of a sudden, it goes from being microscopic to the thing that covers our full range of vision. It becomes the thing that we see. And if you're looking into a magnet or a magnifying glass or even a telescope or a, what are those things called? A microscope, thank you. I was lost then. If you look into a microscope, it's the only thing you can see. When we magnify God with thanksgiving, God is in the right place, and we are in the right place. It says there that we magnify him with thanksgiving. I remember hearing a story of one of the Mercy Ship captains. You remember the Mercy Ships, or you know of the Mercy Ships? They a couple of ships that go around the world doing compassionate acts and humanitarian aid type ship. And the captain of the Mercy Ship, he'd had an engine failure, and it was a significant thing. It had like failed big time, and he was in a fairly remote place, and he was anchored up there waiting or trying to figure out what to do about this situation of this engine failure in this very remote place. And he was on his knees in his cabin, and he was crying out to God, and he's going, God, what am I going to do? I've got this ship that has hundreds of people aboard, and I've got all this equipment that I'm trying to get to this next destination, and there's people waiting for me, and it's all been lined up, and we're not going to get there, and all these people are going to miss out. And Lord, what, what am I going to do about this enormous situation? What, God, help me with this overwhelmingly enormous problem that I have. And it's almost like he was transported in a vision. And he was flying through space at the speed of light, past solar system after solar system after solar system after solar system. And he saw our solar system way, way in the distance as he passed these solar systems. And our sun started to come more and more into focus. And as he zoomed through space at the speed of light, he got closer and closer to our solar system and then whizzed past our sun, our enormous sun, and whizzed past all these incredibly huge planets like Saturn and Venus on his way through back to the Earth. And he started to see the Earth, and it was a speck in the distance. And as he focused on the Earth, it got closer and closer and closer as he got to it. And the continents started to be visible, and then oceans and land masses. And he started to zoom right in on this thing. Till the end, he could see his ship moored in that bay, and he went zap, and instantly he was back in his cabin. And God said, what was that big problem? When we start to realize who God is, the things that we face have a certain perspective that works. We need to know that God is the one who shifts our situations. And thankfulness is the doorway into that place of his presence. And thankfulness keeps that in perspective, who God is. Once we have God in his rightful position in our lives, anxiety starts to strip away. Because anxiety stems from God not being where he should be in our lives. Now, I've gone through a situation recently. Fortunately, I have a great wife. I've gone through a situation recently that's been fairly stressful. And we've had, you know, this happening, that happening. We've got a business and it's just been quite stressful. And my wife continually brings me back to who God is and how big he is in my life and how much he can do. And when I start to thank God for who he is, then the anxiety starts to lift. And this has been a practice that I've practiced now for many years, and it works. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God, there it is again, the peace of God rule in our hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. See how it's sort of, it's not up yet, but it's sort of tacked on the end again. Be thankful. And the peace of God connected to thankfulness. The peace of God and thankfulness are always connected. Now, that's three times I've shown you scriptures where the peace of God and thankfulness is tacked on the end, connected. Do you want another one? Colossians 4:2 says, continue earnestly in prayer, be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Sort of tacked on the end. Thanksgiving is something that you do not want to forget. Now, how do I move into a thankful life? Okay, how do I apply this? You might go, oh, well, look, I get that. I understand what you get, what you're saying. But how do I actually apply for that? We'll start off by doing this. Look for the good. Look for the minute by minute, second by second, experience by experience, things that are good. And just thank him for them. Put him in charge. You know, I had a flat tire on my trailer the other day, really natural sort of a thing. Everyone gets flat tires. And I thought, oh, I don't have a spare with me. What am I going to do? So I thought, well, I'll try the wheel brace from my car and see if that fits the nuts on my trailer. You know, I'm really well organized, eh? And I took the wheel brace out of my car and I went round, I tried on my trailer and it fitted. And I went, thank you, God. Now, there's only really two sizes of wheel nuts, okay? really. But it fitted. But I chose to go, God, I'm going to give you thanks for that blessing. And the blessings continued. And this was a public holiday. This was Wednesday. And I'm going, where am I going to get my tire fixed? I haven't got a spare. How am I going to get my trailer home? How's this going to work? And then I thought, oh, a service station. Maybe a service station will have something. And yes, they did. They have something to fix my flat tire. So I went off to the service station, got this can, connected to my tire, pumped my tire up, and all was good. Now, that's a very natural, normal, everyday situation, right? But I just chose to give thanks to God all the way through that because of the blessings that he allowed me to organize what happened. Now, look, this is a minor thing. Now, if we're talking about major things here, it's exactly the same. If you've had a negative report, or if you've had a family member that's passed away, or you've had seriously bad news, or you have a conundrum or a situation in your life that you cannot figure out, just choose to give him thanks anyway. Just choose to go, every glimmer of hope I see in this situation, I'm going to give God glory for that. And you know, God responds to that because he sees your praise, he sees your thanksgiving, and praise is the doorway to his presence. So as soon as we start to thank him and praise him for those situations, his presence comes, and then the peace that surpasses all understanding. I believe there's no situation in life that stands outside of the presence of God. Are we on the same track here? Understand what I'm saying? Remember what he's done. If you struggle in anxiety and stress, maybe you need to even make a list. Remember what he's done and what he's done for you. You know, it says that the children of Israel fell in the wilderness because they did not remember his mighty works and they did not remember his incredible acts. Think about what God's done in your life. Maybe 5 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, maybe last week. But thank him for those things and continue to thank him for those things. And because of the thankfulness, his presence will come again and bless you. Now, I'm a father and I know as soon as my son is thankful, I just want to give him everything. You know, if he's arrogant with me, as young people, 20-year-olds tend to be, if he's arrogant with me and doesn't give me thanks, I think, well, that's it for you, boy. I'm writing you out of the inheritance. But when he comes to me and said, Dad, thank you that you lent me your Monaro. I go, okay, mate. It's yours. Anytime. Thankfulness. You imagine how loving our Father is. You imagine how God just wants to pour out you on your... Start to live a thankful life and you will see it change. You will see it change. And if you're thinking this morning, well, I've got nothing to thank him for. My life is in an absolute mess. I've got nothing to thank him for. Then start with this. Start at the beginning. This is John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world, that's you, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That is yours. That is yours. You need to thank him for the fact that through Jesus Christ, he made that available to you. And you know what? You might be sitting in this place. You never may have made that decision. You might not be a Christian. You might be far, far, far from God and have a total mess in your life or have a good life. I don't know. But let me tell you this, is that promise is available to you today. So you have reason to give thanks. You may have chosen no, but you have reason to give thanks because you could choose yes whenever you like. There is always something to give God thanks for. He has given us so much. Do you want to go a little deeper? Just a little. I'll do this. How are we going for time? Better go quick. Just a thought. This is 1 Corinthians 14:13 and 7 to 17. And I'll read it for you. It says this. Therefore, "Let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind, but my understanding is unfruitful." So we know what it's talking about here. It's talking about praying in tongues that we don't know what we're praying. Now, if you're here for the first time, this is a spiritual gift that God gives, and it comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is when you ask the Holy Spirit into your life. He comes into your life, and he actually starts to live in you in powerful form, and he gives you a gift called speaking in tongues, and we can pray in a language that's unknown to us. Amazing gift, and I've just seen it work powerfully in my own life for years and years and years. But what we're actually doing is a little unknown. Is that correct? Have you ever thought, what am I actually doing here? What am I saying? What am I praying? What's going on here? Well, this scripture helps us with that. And it says, what is the conclusion then? If I will pray with the Spirit and I will also pray with understanding, I will sing with the Spirit and I'll also sing with understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place with the uninformed say amen to what? Your giving of thanks. Really? Then it says, since he does not understand what you say, for indeed you give thanks well, but the other is not edified. Let me break this down for you. Giving of thanks is so important that God connected it to a language that you don't even understand. So that when you open your mouth and you pray in that language, you are giving thanks. Does that make sense to you? Now, I know that when we pray in tongues, lots of things happen, and it does, you know, it's a spiritual warfare. It's a form of all sorts of things. It's dramatic. It changes lives. But the thing that I think that it changes lives so dramatically because is because it says when we pray in the Spirit, we give thanks. I remember a girl who gave her life to Jesus Christ in our church. And she was so like, pretty out of it life, but she just prayed in the Spirit. That's all she knew how to do. She just got it for some reason. She just got it. She prayed in the Spirit. And her life dramatically changed over a very, very short period of time. And I believe that this is the key, is it says that when we pray in the Spirit, we give thanks well. Because when we give thanks, those things start to line up. The presence starts to come. God's in his rightful place. You're humbly before him, thanking him for what he's done. Says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So is that imaginable when we realize that speaking in tongues is being thankful? I know it does many other things, but this is the only part in Scripture that identifies what happens when you speak in tongues. If we were edified by giving thanks in tongues, we'll be edified by living a life of thanksgiving. Does that make sense? You want to edify yourself? Give thanks. Thanksgiving will transform your relationships. Just watching the time. Now, my wife and I have a great relationship, but it hasn't always been that way. We've had our struggles, believe me. For the first 2 years, we fought about who was going to be in charge. Eventually got that sorted. Denise said she won. But I remember on one occasion, I was struggling. I'm going, God, why have you given me this woman? Well, probably. Let's be honest. And while I was complaining to God, he smacked me. And he smacked me quite hard. And if you've ever been smacked by God, you know what I'm talking about. And he said, this woman deserves to be loved. And you know it's God speaking to you when something like that just comes up in your spirit. And it's totally contrary to what I was thinking. I was thinking, I can't love this woman. And God said to me, this woman deserves to be loved. So I went, okay, God, I get it. I thought to myself, why does she deserve to be loved? Then I started. She's loving. She's faithful. She's caring. She's a great mother. She's very intelligent. She's
compassionate to me. She loves God. She's also extremely good looking. And I started to thank God for those things. And I started to come before him and go, God, I thank you for my wife. She's so faithful and she's so tender and she's so And I took my eyes off the things that I struggled with. And I started to put my eyes on the reasons why God said she deserved to be loved. And you know what? My whole persona towards my wife changed. It dramatically changed the way I thought about my wife. And you know, to this day, this is probably 20 years or more later. We've been married for 30-something years. It's probably over 20 years later, I'm still every morning going, God, thank you for my wife. She's so wonderful. So I thank God every day. And you know what? Through the thanksgiving, those things in her life have been developed because there's a spiritual thing that happens when I start to get thankful about my wife. Is the presence of God starts to come. And it shifts things and changes things. And those things in her life has just developed and grown so much so I cannot, and this is the truth, I cannot even remember what I was complaining about. I'm going, God, I don't see that anymore. I don't even know what that was. All I can see is the incredible, amazing things that God showed me that my wife is. And I started to be thankful for those. The rest slipped away. How many people in your life could you do that with? Start being generally thankful to the people around you. Now we're shifting now from thankfulness towards God to a lifestyle of thankfulness, okay? Start being genuinely thankful to the people around you and watch your life change. You know, I'm not talking about positive thinking. I'm talking about genuinely thankful because this is a supernatural truth that God powers and his power is released through. You know, I've struggled with people over the past, and I remember God actually telling me off about this a few times, and I've started to get thankful for them, and I've started to love them. You know, Psalm 119:61 says, "The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight I will rise to give you thanks." Thanksgiving is spiritual warfare. Is there somebody on your back? Is there somebody who's driving you bananas? Is there someone you can't stand? Start to be thankful for them. Find anything that you can be thankful for them and release the spiritual gift of powerful thanksgiving over their life. God will do the rest. You're called to thanksgiving. And if you live in this constant thanksgiving, eventually the devil will give up on you. Because going, oh, I can't stand that guy. Every time I give him a problem, I even gave him a flat tire and he praised God because his wheel brace fitted. I give up. Thankfulness is a spiritual warfare that we need to be good at. You know, life happens, doesn't it? And bad things happen to good people. It says actually in Matthew that he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. So good things are going to happen to you and bad things are going to happen to you. Make sure whenever something good happens that you're thankful. And make sure when anything bad happens, find something in that bad to be thankful for. And you will develop a lifestyle of thankfulness that will protect you and shield you and keep you in his presence. How we respond to these situations is key. But if we will use every situation to give thanks, our lives will change. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." What's God's will for you this morning? Pray without ceasing. And give thanks. You know, when we start to understand thankfulness, we start to realize what praise is. You see, thankfulness is the doorway to praise. And you start thanking God, you will praise him. Because you'll start to praise him because of who he is. And just because of who he is. Not because he's what he's done for you. Thankfulness is the door.
So what is God's will for your life? Thankfulness. Remember, thankfulness is not a thing to do, it's a life to live. It'll allow God to develop the truth of thankfulness in you, then start to release it to the world around you, to your spouse. Start to be thankful to your spouse. Start to be thankful for your children. Thank you for your church and your pastors. Amen? Come on. Thank you for your work colleagues. Be thankful for your family. Watch your life change. Thankfulness releases favor and opportunity. I believe that I've had more favor and more opportunity in my life, both in the business world and in the church sector, because of thankfulness. It deals with the pride monster that lives in our lives. Just in closing, I'm going to read you this scripture that says in Colossians 2, 6 to 7, "As you therefore have received Christ the Lord," that's you, "so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Abounding in it with thanksgiving. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful today. We're thankful today that you love every person in this room. We're thankful today that you have a plan and a purpose and a destiny for every life in this place today. We bless you and honor you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness towards us. Thank you, Jesus.
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.